That's why we build the wall. We build the wall to keep us free.
You're listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. The views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Who do we call the enemy? The enemy is poverty. The wall keeps out the enemy, and we build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We build the wall to keep us free.
Welcome, everybody, on this beautiful sunny day. And it's so good to see your presence here this morning. And it's also nice to welcome Danielle and Maura here from Holland. Welcome, and hope you enjoy your time there. And as we have no other people here that I haven't seen before, just a special welcome, reminding everybody that this is a welcoming place. We welcome everybody, regardless of race, colour, creed, or sexuality. Just like to acknowledge that the place that we meet on is, of course, Kaurna land. They've been the traditional custodians of this land, and we recognise their leaders past, present, and future. And also, we remember the past members of this group that have met as Unitarians since 1854. Now I'll ask Brendan and Aran. We have a very special prelude this morning. I like the chalice as a symbol of that which draws us together, that warmth, that light that is attractive to us, but also binds each one of us together and with the universe beyond. Time for a hymn. The words are on the screen behind. For everyone born, a place at the table. Thank you, everyone. It's now time for the story for all ages. Sandy.
Moving is hard. Friends make it easier. Auntie used to call me Cartwheel. Then came the war. Auntie didn't call me Cartwheel anymore. We came to this country to be safe. Everything was strange. The people were strange. The food was strange. The animals and plants were strange. Even the wind felt strange. Nobody spoke like I did. When I went out, it was like standing under a waterfall of strange sounds. The waterfall was cold. It made me feel alone. I felt like I wasn't me anymore. When I was at home, I wrapped myself in a blanket of my own words and sounds. I called it my old blanket. My old blanket was warm. It was soft. It covered me all over. It made me feel safe. Sometimes I didn't want to go out. I wanted to stay under my old blanket forever. One day, a girl in the park smiled at me. Then she waved. I wanted to smile back, but I was scared. I kept walking with Auntie. When I looked back, the girl waved again. Next time we went to the park, I looked for the girl, but she wasn't there. We went back 3 times before I saw her again. She waved and smiled, and I felt warm inside. The girl came up to us and said something. Her words were strange. It was like being back under the cold waterfall. But the girl kept smiling and she took me over to the swings. I got on and she pushed me higher and higher and I wanted to laugh. I wanted to tell her how glad I was that we were friends. But I didn't know how. When I went home, I hid under my old blanket. I wondered if I would always feel sad. Wondered if I would ever feel like me again. The next time I saw the girl, she bought some words for me. She made me say them over and over. Every time I met the girl, she brought more words. Some of the words were hard. Some of them were easy. Sometimes I sounded funny and we laughed. Sometimes I felt silly and I wanted to cry. At night, when I lay in bed under my old blanket, I whispered the new words again and again. Soon they didn't sound so cold and sharp anymore. They started to sound warm and soft. I was weaving a new blanket. At first, my new blanket was thin and small, but every day I added new words to it. The blanket grew and grew, and I forgot about the cold and lonely waterfall. My new blanket grew just as warm and soft and comfortable as my old blanket, and now, no matter which blanket I use, I will always be me.
Thank you, Sandy. It's now time for candles of sharing, and I'll light the first.
Who do we call the enemy? The enemy is poverty. The wall keeps out the enemy, and we built the wall to keep us free. That's why we built the wall. We built the wall to keep us free.
Thank you, Brendan and Grant. Welcoming Australia began in 2016 and it was established to help people integrate into our society. They help them with a variety of things that they do. They are reliant on funds from donors to keep them going. The people that are arriving in our country now, seeing that we're reaching record numbers of new people arriving into our country, and ways that perhaps we might be able to be involved, not just individually, but as a group of people. But before we do that, I think it'd be nice if we just thought about people who are coming to our country as having to go through an enormous amount of change they have to face, things that they had never dreamt of facing in their life. And of course, each one of us faces similar things. So I'd like to have a moment of just meditation silence when we think about change. Change that happens sometimes slowly, as in aging or somebody growing, and we have to accept that. But change that comes suddenly sometimes, change that is wanted, sometimes not wanted. Sometimes it's pleasant and sometimes unpleasant. At the moment, my choir that I belong to is practicing for a concert, and one of the songs we're going to be singing in that is Michael Jackson's song, Man in the Mirror. I'm looking at the man in the mirror, wanting to make a change. If you want to make the world a better place, make a change, make it yourself, are some of the words. That's paraphrasing it. Very powerful. So it's an all-pervading idea, this thing of change, and it's good to contemplate it for a little while. So just a minute's reflection, meditation. Many people within this organisation are involved in helping other groups of people. And I wondered if we could just use this time to share some of those things you're doing. I'm going to ask Celia if she would come forward and share with you.
A little while ago, somebody asked the question in this community, what do you do? How do you involve people in your world so that they feel a sense of belonging? And the idea was born to include in the newsletter some stories of those of us who belong to this community. I'm just going to speak a moment about GROW, because this community funds the Manse space every week for 2 hours for people who haven't found a sense of belonging in the community because they belong to a little group called those of us with mental illness. It seems in our community we don't find it an easy conversation to have. We project shame often onto those ones, and we don't necessarily do the journey inward to find through the darkness the pathway through to our own fulfillment and bringing light into those dark places within ourselves. The passion for creating a space for belonging, I think, occurred to me because I was brought up in South Africa. The haves and the have-nots, the blacks and the whites, were differentiated and put in different spaces. And I saw the pain of what that caused for people not to belong in a system and be held down. And then my father was a German Jew, and I saw the pattern there of someone being punished for just being born into a religious community and the larger community not appreciating that difference and persecuting because of the difference. So as a child, when I was 13, I did wonder about the possibility of building bridges between people to avoid that depth of pain. And it took me a long time to find a way in which I could make a difference and kind of answer that longing that I had as a child to ease the pain. And so it was only when I had a brush myself with mental illness that I used my social work training in the field of mental health to build a bridge across to a person who had lived experience of mental illness. And that's what we do in this community meeting every Monday here at church in the Manse. We offer a space for people to talk about whatever is on their plate that week. And we encourage each other to build healthy habits. Often it implies physical fitness. Often it includes good nutrition and social networking so people don't feel alone. I'll leave it there, but please know that this is the space to bring your passion relating to the community work that you do to assist people to belong and reduce pain.
Thank you, Celia. Is there anybody else who would like to share? Jenny?
Just want to share a bit of an insight that I got from my years of teaching. I remember when I was at Linden Park, I got a little girl in a hijab, aged 9. There weren't too many people with hijabs then. This is going back to the 1990s. She had no English, and she was not entitled to English lessons because her father was not going to be a permanent resident. He was in Australia studying dryland agriculture at the Waite. So what to do? I didn't have a clue, so I just asked, who would like to sit next to the new girl holder? And the little blonde South African girl with a strong Afrikaans accent volunteered. So I let them sit up the back of the room, and the rule was they could talk all day as long as they kept it down, because I figured that's what was going to teach her English. And we worked out a way of getting her into the ASL lessons by having other children be able to take a friend, and they always chose Hoda because they knew she needed the English. But it just occurred to me that people who are the most use in integrating others are people who've had some experience of being on the edge themselves. The little Afrikaans girl had come with a very, very strong accent through that feeling of feeling otherness. We don't have somebody else to share an insight. I do have a little bit from Anamkara on the subject of relationship. Would you like to hear it? This is from John O'Donohue. Intimacy is sacred. In our culture, there is an excessive concentration on the notion of relationship. People talk incessantly about relationships. It's a constant theme on TV, film, and the media. Technology and media are not uniting the world. They pretend to provide a world that's interconnected, but in reality, all they deliver is a simulated world of shadows. Accordingly, they make our human world more anonymous and lonely. In a world where the computer replaces human encounter and psychology replaces religion, it is no wonder there is an obsession with relationship. Unfortunately, however, relationship has become an empty center around which our lonely hunger forages for warmth and belonging. Much of the public language of intimacy is hollow, and its incessant repetition only betrays the complete absence of intimacy. Real intimacy is a sacred experience. It never exposes its secret trust and belonging to the voyeuristic eye of a neon culture. Real intimacy is of the soul, and the soul is reserved. In the Bible, it says that no one can see God and live. In a transferred sense, no person can see himself and live. All you can ever achieve is a sense of your soul. You gain little glimpses of its light, colors, and contours. You feel the inspiration of its possibility and the wonder of its mysteries. In the Celtic tradition, and especially in the Gaelic language, there's a refined sense of the sacredness which the approach to another person should embody. The word hello does not exist in Gaelic. The way you encounter someone is through a blessing. You say, God be with you. They respond, God and Mary be with you. When you're leaving a person, you say, may God come to your assistance. And when you go, it's may God keep you. The ritual of encounter is enframed at the beginning and at the end with a blessing. Regularly throughout conversation in Gaelic, there is explicit recognition that the divine is present in others. There are also old recognitions embodied in sayings such as, the hand of the stranger is the hand of God. The stranger does not come accidentally. He brings a particular gift and illumination. And those were the words of John O'Donohue from Anamkara.
I have found the poem. And just following on from what's been spoken about this morning, if there are other people who would like to share those stories, I don't think we have time now, but please let us know. I'm sure Chris would be happy to include that in future services here. The poem that I wanted to read to you this morning and share with you is by a young poet called Wasan Shire, who was born in Kenya to Somali parents and now lives in London. She is a poet, writer, editor, and teacher. In 2013 to 2014, she was made the Young Poet Laureate for London. Here is her poem, Home. No one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. You only run for a border when you see the whole city running as well. Your neighbours running faster than you, breath bloody in their throats. The boy you went to school with who kissed you dizzy behind the old tin factory is holding a gun bigger than his body. You only leave home when home won't let you stay. No one leaves home unless home chases you. Fire under feet, hot blood in your belly. It's not something you ever thought of doing until the blade burnt threats into your neck. And even then you carried the anthem under your breath, only tearing up your passport in an airport toilet, sobbing as each mouthful of paper made it clear that you wouldn't be going back. You have to understand that no one puts their children in a boat unless the water is safer than the land. No one burns their palms under trains, beneath carriages. No one spends days and nights in the stomach of a truck feeding on newspaper unless the miles travelled means something more than journey. No one crawls under fences. No one wants to be beaten, pitied. No one chooses refugee camps or strip searches where your body is left aching, or prison, because prison is safer than a city of fire, and one prison guard in the night is better than a truckload of men who look like your father. No one could take it. No one should stomach it. No one skin would be tough enough. The go home blacks, refugees, dirty immigrants, asylum seekers, sucking our country dry, niggers with their hands out, they smell strange, savage, messed up their country, now they want to mess up ours. How do the words, the dirty looks, roll off your backs? Maybe because the blow is softer than a limb torn off. Or the words are more tender than 14 men between your legs. Or the insults are easier to swallow than rubble, than bone, than your child body in pieces. I want to go home, but home is in the mouth of the shark. Home is the barrel of a gun. And no one would leave home unless home chased you to the shore. Unless home told you to quicken your legs, leave your clothes behind, crawl through the desert, wade through the oceans, drown, save, be hunger, beg, forget pride. Your survival is more important. No one leaves home until home is a sweaty voice in your ear saying, leave, run away from me now. I don't know what I've become, but I know that anywhere is safer than here. Katie. Leni had sent that poem as part of the thing she was going to address, so I really wanted to include that today. Very powerful words to think about. Time for you to have a sing. Hymn number 226 in the Green Book, Song of Peace. I chose these words to finish today's service with because they were written by our member, Daphne Treloar. So here are words. The peace of being at one. As we leave this place, may we take with us the peace of being at one with the world and with all humanity. May we regard every contact as precious, every opportunity as unique, and live every moment as we would our last. So be it.
We hope you've enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter. This permission can be obtained by emailing admin@unitarianSA.org.au. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians or by visiting our website at unitarianSA.org.au.
Living in a city that never sleeps, my heart keeps time in a thousand beats, singing languages I don't speak.